This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, May 27, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. The Wyoming City Council has approved the purchase of two new police department drones for suspect pursuits and search operations. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
It's a huge game changer for officer safety and also for locating suspects.
That's Wyoming Police Lieutenant Aaron Brooks explaining the department has utilized its only drone multiple times a day over the past 4 years. In need of repair, it's adding two new drones at a cost of just over $26,000, increasing its fleet.
The money here, if approved, would be for the purchase of the two drones, the controllers, batteries, cases, comes with spotlights, speakers, launch pads, kind of everything you need to fly, big hard case to keep in the trunk of a car.
The city council approved the funds in a 5-1 vote, with 3rd Ward City Council member Marissa Postler voting no, citing increased surveillance concerns.
I do trust our police department, I really do, but just the idea of increasing our comfort level with surveillance as a society has me uncomfortable. I can see where it would be beneficial, but I could also see where the scope of use could continue to expand, and the idea of that makes me uncomfortable.
Captain Eric Weiler explained that policies are in place that prohibit the department from using drones to harass, intimidate, or discriminate against any individual. I'm David Limbaugh.
The John Ball Zoo Board of Directors has announced an interim CEO after the abrupt departure of its previous leader. WGVU's Steve Morrison has the details.
Grand Rapids John Ball Zoo board members announced the immediate appointment of board chair Rob Verhulen as interim CEO. He will take a leave of absence from his board duties, and previous chair Tracy Hornbeck will step into her former role while the search continues for a new permanent CEO. Verhulen joined the zoo board in 2019 and brings 40 years of experience in law, corporate leadership, and public service, including 11 years as mayor of Walker and 3 terms in the Michigan House of Representatives. As interim CEO, Verhulen will focus on community relationships and engagement, allowing the existing zoo leadership team to handle day-to-day operations. Previous CEO Peter D'Arienzo held the position since 2019, but parted ways with the board in April. The board is forming a search committee and contracting with a national search firm specializing in zoos, aquariums, and conservation organizations to find a permanent CEO. I'm Dee Morrison.
Police say the explosion Tuesday morning in a Comstock Park house that killed a man and critically injured a woman was not an accident. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports investigators think it was an attempted murder-suicide.
A domestic-related situation at the home.
Kent County Undersheriff Brian Muir says investigators believe the husband who lived in the Comstock Park home on Rollaway Drive deliberately turned on the gas, intending to cause an explosion to kill his wife and himself.
The fire was intentionally set, what we believe, by the husband at this point, intending to be a murder-suicide at the residence.
Plainfield Township Fire Chief Jeremy Kelly says the explosion at about 4 a.m. Tuesday flattened the single-story home.
It's completely leveled and had full flames throughout the structure.
The body of a man was discovered in the debris. The undersheriff says neighbors rescued a female with serious burns from the house.
We were able to pull her from the home. That includes a teenager that lived just next door, as well as another male who lived nearby. Without their actions, it's likely that she would have perished in the fire.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Two community engagement events are on tap as the city of Grand Rapids moves into the next phase of its search for a new police chief. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
The community meet and greet and public forum events are slated for June 17th. Officials say the events reflect the city's continued commitment to transparency, public engagement, and open communication throughout the selection process. The two events will support broad community participation, and community members will have an opportunity to meet the finalists for chief of police and share feedback. City Manager Mark Washington says in a news release, quote, "These events will allow stakeholders to learn more about the finalists, hear directly from them, and share their feedback on who can help the Grand Rapids Police Department and the City of Grand Rapids reach public safety goals," end quote. The events will take place at City Hall, and the public forum will air on Comcast Channel 26 and stream live on the City of Grand Rapids Facebook and YouTube channels. The job posting opened on May 8th and closes June 5th. Washington will take the results of interviews, feedback, and background checks into account before making his final decision. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Grand Rapids is reviewing its canine policy, citing concerns raised following officer-involved shootings. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the latest.
In February, 32-year-old Daquan Johnson was pursued by Grand Rapids Police Department officers and a canine when he was shot and killed. As a follow-up to the officer-involved shooting, Grand Rapids commissioners are asking the police department for a use of canine policy review. City Manager Mark Washington.
I did ask that the Office of Public Accountability take the lead on that effort with input from the police department and identify model agencies and relevant comparison points.
The city's Office of Oversight and Public Accountability has been conducting a review of GRPD's canine program's policies.
I asked them to help us understand the practices of other jurisdictions and see where we might have an opportunity to improve our policies.
Managing Director of the Office of Oversight and Public Accountability, Brandon Davis, says that report will be ready in June.
We're not looking at individual incidents over a certain period of time. We're specifically looking at policy, comparing it to best practices in policy.
Kent County Prosecutor Chris Becker determined the use of force during Johnson's arrest was justified. There have been 12 officer-involved shootings in Grand Rapids in the past 4 years. I'm David Limbaugh.
Active military members and their families can enjoy free summertime visits to Grand Rapids Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park. WGVU's Dee Morrison tells us about a new partnership making it happen.
Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park is now part of a national appreciation program with Blue Star Museums, offering free admission to currently serving military members and their families through Labor Day.
We have inclusivity as a part of our mission, and we think it's important to serve all of our guests and be a place that offers this experience to as many people as possible.
Ron Felix is the Senior Guest Engagement and Experience Manager.
We certainly don't want to leave our veterans and their families out, including our active military. So we wanted to make sure that we were providing a service that spoke to that inclusivity.
The program provides free admission for currently serving Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy, and Space Force, as well as Reserve and National Guard members, U.S. Public Health Commission Corps, and NOAA personnel, plus up to 5 family members. Active military guests are asked to present a valid military ID. The Gardens also offers a standard 10% discount to military members, including retired and veterans. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Some of Michigan's most powerful business and political figures are taking part in the annual Detroit Regional Chamber Conference this week on Mackinac Island. As we hear from Rick Pluta, statewide elections are a big topic of discussion.
There are open races for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and a U.S. Senate seat. Every seat in the U.S. House and the state legislature is on the ballot. Michigan is a purple state with big political swings from election to election, and that creates a challenge for business planners, says Detroit Regional Chamber President Sandy Barua. He says businesses are looking for solutions to education, workforce, and housing challenges that will outlast any single governor's administration or legislative session.
Right now, we don't stick with a strategy long enough to see if it actually is going to be productive.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer will deliver her final address as governor to the conference on Thursday. I'm Rick Pluta on Mackinac Island.
Some of the dominant plant species in Michigan are changing as the climate warms. That's according to a new study from the University of Michigan's Institute for Global Change Biology. Kara Dobson is one of the study's authors. She says in Michigan, this means cold-loving plants will be decreasing as warm-loving plants increase. Dobson says while that doesn't directly affect biodiversity, its ripple effects can harm the state's ecosystems.
If we lose those cold species faster than the community is gaining warmer species, we could see subsequent declines in something like biodiversity in that community.
Dobson says the study could help conservationists and land managers choose which species to plant and where. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon in our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Crane staff writer Mark Sanchez about Grand Rapids-based Acrature announcing global layoffs and the dramatic rise in healthcare costs has some Small Business Association of Michigan members warning in a survey that they may need to drop coverage in the not-too-distant future.
Kind of a forecast, but, you know, kind of a reality check and maybe a wake-up call for folks in the healthcare industry, the insurers, the providers. Yeah, well, as far as all businesses, policymakers in Lansing on the national level, this again, is something we've talked about many, many times on this program, and that is just this constantly rising cost of health coverage. Businesses of all sizes and their ability to afford to maintain employee health coverage. Now this week comes a survey and data from the Small Business Association of Michigan, and for the first time we're seeing some small employers say this is getting to the point, the tipping point, the breaking point, fill in what you want to call it, where we may, within a few years, have to drop health benefits. It's some interesting data there because, you know, these double-digit increases have been hitting businesses of all sizes hard for the last few years. And in this SBAM survey, more than 4 in 10 of the respondents said that they may have to make a decision on eliminating health benefits within 1 to 3 years. And there's another 16% say they may have to consider dropping health benefits within 4 to 6 years. And that's kind of some new findings in this survey data for SBAM. And this has some ramifications. You know, when you talk about, boy, if employees at these small businesses don't have health coverage, do they move on? So what's the ability of a small business to try to retain those employees against a larger corporation that may have a better ability to absorb these costs? You're going to see that. You're going to see, perhaps, if more people are without health coverage, increased uncompensated care to doctors and health systems. And talking to Sherry Welsh, she runs an executive recruitment and search firm down in Kalamazoo and chairs the SBAM board this year. She raised a good point, which is these high healthcare costs that businesses are absorbing. They need to make those costs up somewhere else. So maybe they're not doing as much marketing, as much promotion, as much advertising. We're seeing SBAM data now 2 years in a row is saying small businesses are curtailing hiring. They're curtailing growth plans because they can't afford to bring more people on the payroll to help run the business because of these high healthcare costs. So perhaps they're resorting to more technology, internal processes, using artificial intelligence to do some things within the business. And Sherry Welsh really raised a great point, which is a lot of small businesses, and she said this is the part of why they love being small business owners. They're involved in the community. You see their banners on the fence at the Friday night football game. You see them sponsoring your local downtown festival or events, or sponsoring that fundraising golf outing, sponsoring a foursome, or sponsoring, you know, fill in the blank. If they keep absorbing these high healthcare costs, that's money they're not going to have to start supporting things in the community. So there are some real consequences to these constantly rising healthcare costs, and they're showing up more and more in these surveys and in this particular survey data from the Small Business Association of Michigan.
Any indication that SBAM leadership is talking with state government or bringing awareness at the federal level?
Always they're talking to state government, the policymakers in Lansing. And there's an interesting aspect that we've seen begun to get floated here this year. Brian Calley, the CEO of SBAM, has talked about it the last few times I've spoken with him, which is, you know, we need more transparency on what's driving costs. We've seen the issues with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan versus Michigan Medicine right now when they are at a big contract impasse and Michigan Medicine may drop out of the Blue Cross network here at the end of June. We've seen this play out in other communities between insurers and health systems. And Brian's point is, we've heard a lot the last couple of years, especially from Blue Cross, that we've seen this big consolidation in Michigan. The health systems have gotten much bigger. Corwell Beaumont's deal a few years ago, we've seen other consolidation in Michigan. And that makes for a bigger health system that has more negotiating power with the insurers. And they have more pricing power. So there's been a lot of finger pointing back and forth. Blue Cross is saying the health systems are raising prices too far. We need to control it. And that's part of what that contract difficulty between Blue Cross and Michigan Medicine is all about. So Brian's advocating this idea, and we've seen this elsewhere. The Speaker of the House, Matt Hall, has floated this about transparency in how hospitals set prices. Now, We see this in public utilities. Electric companies and gas companies have to file their rate proposals to the Michigan Public Service Commission for review so we can see exactly what's driving costs, what's driving price increases. Your health plans, your HMOs have to file their rate proposals each year, and those are due for the small business, small group in Michigan here real soon this month. They have to file to the state, and the regulators take a look, and you can look at those proposals and see what's driving their costs. Hospitals and health systems don't have that same requirement. So we're seeing some folks, again, Brian Kelly at the Small Business Association of Michigan is saying perhaps it's time to start looking at this and have some kind of a system of price transparency and what's really driving these healthcare costs. You know, we've heard so much from the insurers saying it's the specialty drug, it's the higher utilization, aging population that's using more care. We're seeing higher acuity in cases. So what's really driving these costs? Brian's saying we need more transparency, and now perhaps it's come a time to start putting a regulatory system in place that brings more transparency to how hospitals are setting these prices.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer, Mark Sanchez. Speaking of insurers, Grand Rapids-based Acrisure, the fintech, making headlines recently, but for two very different reasons.
Yeah, two very different reasons. We saw Acrisure last week say, things are perhaps getting a little lean and AI and technology can do more of running the business. So we saw a not an announcement, but it was a memo that was sent to the employees at Acrisure. 2,250 layoffs this year that Acrisure is going to hand down around the world. It's become this big global benefits insurance company with the insurance brokerages. I believe it's in the top 10 as an insurance brokerage globally now. So it's looking at making some cuts, and that's going to have ramifications here for Grand Rapids. We don't know just yet where these cuts are going to occur, but you have to presume the company being headquartered right here in downtown, something's going to happen here over the next several months. At the same time, as you say, we saw the opening of the new amphitheater here in downtown, just on the south end, and that's a big deal. It was a successful opening. Acrisure has the naming rights for that stadium. And this kind of a side point, this is a story my co-worker here at Crane's Grand Rapids, Kate Carlson, did the other day, that Grand Action 2.0, that's behind the Acrisure Amphitheater and the development of the soccer stadium here in downtown, is now looking to bring a major mixed-use housing project envisioned immediately south of Acrisure Amphitheater. It's a formal development that's not yet been signed as far as any agreement. But Grand Action 2.0 is talking to a firm about this potential mixed-use component that would add to that area, that neighborhood here on the south end of downtown. And you may see some tax incentive packages come forward that could reach about $270 million, and the project could include up to 500 apartments. And that's kind of according to an initial proposal. It's now not just the amphitheater down in that neighborhood, but broader development that could bring some housing units down to the riverfront property.
Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, May 27, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.